Hey, it's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we want to hear from you. Share your favorite state parks in Wisconsin. You can get started right now. Email ideas@WPR.org or comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. First, as we get ready for a big election year in 2024, there's been some news about absentee voting in Wisconsin. We're going to talk in a bit about Republicans seeking to intervene in a Democratic challenge to a ruling on the use of ballot drop boxes. But to start things off, the Wisconsin Elections Commission recently voted to approve a new design for envelopes for completed absentee ballots. The group hopes the changes will help voters and witnesses understand what's required of them and prevent mistakes that could cause ballots to be rejected, as they have been in the past. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you regularly or occasionally vote absentee? Have you ever had any confusion with the ballots or the ballot envelopes themselves? What questions do you have about the process? And we're going to talk about potential changes to improve those envelopes. If you work as an election clerk in Wisconsin, do you think this is going to help? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Riley Vedderkind is a public information officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Riley, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It might sound like a small thing, but these envelopes for absentee ballots have been in the news. What prompted the Elections Commission to update these envelopes?
Sure. So the discussion around updating these absentee envelopes has been ongoing for quite a while now. As most people know, absentee voting has gotten more popular in the state of Wisconsin, especially since 2020. And so our commission wanted to ensure that absentee envelopes, which is the two envelopes that a voter would receive their absentee ballot in and then send it back to the municipal clerk. And they wanted to make sure that those are as easy to use as possible. You know, as you've reported on in the past, you know, voters sometimes forget to fill out key information on their absentee ballots. And so the hope is that this new design, which features bold colors and better instructions, clearer instructions, will help minimize mistakes and make sure that everybody's absentee vote counts.
One of the big questions was not what I, the voters, say would fill out myself, but my witness who witnesses my ballot and witnesses the envelope and has to say to sign. What is going to change there to make sure the right information goes on?
Sure. Well, one of the changes is an alert icon calling attention to the need for witness information to be included on the envelope. And then a new separate field is going to be included for a witness to provide their printed name on the absentee certificate envelope as well. So that'll be a big change that voters will want to watch out for as they and their witness are filling out the information on the back of that certificate envelope.
Who did the Elections Commission reach out to in coming up with the changes and the designs? Who did you get input from?
Sure. So our staff has talked to truly a pretty big range of people, including local clerks across Wisconsin, voters, voting equipment vendors, the U.S. Postal Service, and other election experts, including those in other states. Our staff also conducted numerous usability sessions around the state to make sure that these envelopes are easy to use and that we got input throughout the process. So they stopped in places such as Prairie du Chien to Rhinelander. I believe it was around a dozen places that they ended up going to.
How common is it that a ballot in the past might have gotten rejected because of something wrong with the ballot envelope?
You know, I don't have specific figures in front of me. It is fairly rare, but it does happen. And so our commission does want to ensure that these certificates are easy to read, easy to follow, to again, make sure that as many people's votes can count.
Talking to Riley Vedderkind with the Wisconsin Elections Commission, looking at some changes in our absentee voting and a change approved by the Elections Commission to the envelope that the absentee ballot comes in. Sounds like a small thing. It has created some confusion in the past. Let's bring on a caller. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Yeah, I want to describe a situation that happened last year in 2022, because I always vote absentee. I work on election day, and I'm not able to get to the poll before it closes. So I always make sure that my ballot is secured in an envelope and signed by a witness. But last year, there was a school board election up here, and I misunderstood the direction. We were supposed to vote for no more than two candidates, but they were choosing the top three candidates to go on to the general election. It was a primary ballot. Well, I inadvertently, you know, ignorantly voted for the three candidates I wanted, which is incorrect, and I'm sure my ballot was rejected. But when I went to vote on election day to change my vote, the election judge said I couldn't vote because the law was changed in Wisconsin, where once you submit your absentee ballot, you cannot change your vote, even though it's a week or two later. So that's another interesting aspect of absentee voting.
Jeff, thanks for the call. And Riley, I will admit to being confused. I thought you could cause your absentee ballot to be spoiled, in effect, and then cast a ballot on election day. I don't know if you have the dotted I's and crossed T's on that one in front of you, Riley, but how should that work?
Sure. I mean, this is something that certainly does cause voter confusion. And the rules do and have changed on this subject. I unfortunately don't have the latest rules right in front of me on spoiling ballots. I don't want to provide voters with incorrect information, but I'm certainly happy to direct people to our website where the latest information is posted. So I would direct people to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website on that.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Ruthann joins us now in Mequon. Ruthann, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up that the envelope flaps to send in your ballot does not have the stickiness go to all the end of the flap, so that when you close it, the flap is still open and you're not allowed to use Scotch tape. So what we do is we use glue stick on the inside.
Interesting, Ruthann. Thanks for the call. Riley, I don't know if this is part of the ballot redesign. Did the adhesive of the envelope, as Ruthann brings up, enter into the discussion?
You know, that's an interesting point. To my knowledge, the adhesive wasn't a major point of discussion. Most of what our commissioners were talking about was the language that is printed on the envelopes that are sent to voters. However, I certainly am taking a note of that, and that's something that I can bring to our staff just to make sure that those concerns are addressed.
Ruthann, thanks for the call. And Riley, as we wrap up, we've got this new design. How soon will it be implemented? How is the Elections Commission working with clerks around the state to have this up and running?
Sure. So the approval of the envelopes is really the first step in the rollout of these envelopes. So next, commissioners are going to focus on approving uniform instructions. So these are the instructions that are sent to each absentee voter when they receive the ballot and materials in the mail, instructing them how to use them. And so that is the next step in the process. Our staff is also going to be developing some public information materials just to make sure that voters understand that there is a change. And then voters will expect to see these envelopes in use in the February primary in February of 2024. However, if there is a special election before then, these envelopes would be used. And so it's possible that voters could see them sooner in rare instances.
Riley, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
Thanks so much.
That's Riley Vedderkin, Public Information Officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We talked to him today about changes coming to absentee ballot envelopes for the spring primary. Coming up, we'll get the latest in legal disputes over several absentee voting issues in Wisconsin, including the use of ballot drop boxes. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you used ballot drop boxes over the years? Do you like them? Are you glad that they are out of the picture for now, or do you want them to come back? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about absentee voting here in Wisconsin. Just a week ago, Republicans filed a court motion to intervene in a Democratic lawsuit from last month. That lawsuit challenges a couple of Wisconsin absentee voting procedures, including ballot drop boxes. Anya Van Wagtendonk joins us now for a look at the latest legal wrangling over absentee voting in Wisconsin. Anya is WPR's Capital Bureau reporter. Anya, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's review. Start us off, please, with the original Democratic lawsuit. What is being challenged here?
Yeah, so a Democratic law firm filed a lawsuit on behalf of Priorities USA, which is a Democratic Party super PAC, a national super PAC, and the Wisconsin Alliance for Retired Americans. They are challenging some recent decisions about absentee voting. They want to overturn the decision barring the use of drop boxes decided last year. They want to give voters more time to cure their own ballots. That means fix issues on the envelopes on the outside of absentee ballots, and they want to end the requirement that absentee ballots have to have a witness signature. They say that this is a way of making absentee voting more accessible to more people, especially elderly people, people with disabilities, and other marginalized groups.
And some of this now had been resolved, at least I thought, by the state Supreme Court, including a state Supreme Court ruling that said no more of these drop boxes for absentee ballots, right? So this lawsuit is saying, well, let's go back and revisit this. Do I have that right?
That's right. So some of these are kind of longstanding practices for absentee voters that became much more commonplace during the pandemic. Obviously, in 2020, many more people were voting absentee than was typical because of stay-at-home orders and concerns. And so the Wisconsin Elections Commission developed new guidelines about these longstanding practices that were then subject to a wide variety of legal challenges, including, as you mentioned, the Supreme Court case that eventually found that drop boxes, which had existed prior to 2020, although much more rarely than we saw in 2020, that they would no longer be allowed. And so they had sort of taken away what, again, these groups say is an important tool for allowing people to vote absentee.
So this is Democratic groups challenging these things. And who now was trying to intervene in these challenges last week on the Republican side?
That's right. So the Republican National Committee, the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and then Republican Party chapters in Rock County and Walworth counties all made a motion to intervene in the lawsuit. What that would mean is joining with the Wisconsin Elections Commission as defense in this lawsuit. So essentially they are saying that they want these practices, the requirement for the witness, the timeline for curing ballots, and the ending of the practice of using drop boxes, they want to uphold all of those decisions. And so they are essentially hoping to join the lawsuit against these Democratic groups.
Oh, this can get kind of down in the weeds, Anya, but what are the core arguments that the sides are making in this suit?
Essentially, what the progressive groups are arguing is that this is an opportunity to expand access to the ballot, that the easier you make it to vote absentee, the more you expand access to people who, for whatever reason, cannot vote in person day of. And the GOP argues that they have no problem with absentee voting. In fact, they are making nationally, they're making more of a push to encourage their voters to vote early and absentee. We're seeing that here in Wisconsin. But what they say is that that practice needs guardrails and that the current guidance and the current law here in Wisconsin are those important guardrails. And so that would protect against potential fraud or misuse of this tool.
I mentioned a past state Supreme Court ruling on ballot drop boxes. This case we're talking about could go to the state Supreme Court, but it's a slightly different state Supreme Court. Are we seeing these kind of lawsuits being timed with a change in control of the state Supreme Court?
That's exactly right. So earlier this month, the court swung from a conservative majority, which is the same majority that determined the dropbox suit from last summer, to a liberal majority. And so it is likely that we are going to see challenges to some of these processes being brought forward with the hope that a different makeup in the court might rule differently than the conservative majority of the past.
Now, we're having this conversation in August of 2023, some big elections coming in 2024. What is the expected timeline, if there is an expected timeline, on this suit that's going to be very relevant for those elections?
I mean, that is the big question. It's totally unclear. And I think that we can really expect to see a lot of these challenges coming forward. And as you mentioned, the first of the 2024 election cycle is really not that far away. And so I think voters are really going to have to pay pretty close attention to how rules and guidance comes forward to determine how they can be voting, because these mechanisms are going to be challenged, and we just don't have a clear timeline of when the rules will be decided.
Anya, I understand you're covering a related court decision that just came out regarding a GOP challenge on absentee ballot envelope guidance. What's going on?
Yeah, so that's right. As you kind of allude to, we really get into the weeds on some of these challenges. And so this was brought forward by a group that organizes young voters, and they are suing to overturn a requirement about what an address that is written on an envelope needs to be in order to be considered complete. So you have to write your address on your absentee ballot. And let's say you forget to include your zip code, or you simply don't include it because you're from a small town and there's only one zip code. They are trying to basically make it easier to not consider that a mistake that would spoil the entire ballot. So again, we get a little bit weedsy, but there are these types of challenges coming forward. GOP lawmakers wanted that lawsuit to be dismissed. And so the latest is that a Dane County judge rejected the request to dismiss the lawsuit. All that means is that the lawsuit can move forward. And so again, we're seeing all this kind of play out in these very incremental ways, which means that these decisions about how your average voter can or cannot cast a ballot is being determined kind of piecemeal in these small ways. And again, as we just inch closer and closer to the 2024 election cycle.
Time for a caller. Chris is with us in Menominee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. So my question is, as I'm listening to this, what evidence does the right put forward to substantiate their claims that there is these allegations of fraud or misuse of absentee ballots? What evidence is there that substantiates these claims? Is there any?
Chris, thanks for the call. Anya, I don't know if the legal arguments claim that there is fraud, but maybe the potential for fraud, or that things just don't accord with Wisconsin law. In our last few moments, what do we see?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are still some claims that this is too easy to be misused. And so whether or not they cite, you know, specific examples of fraud or potential fraud, there are, you know, of course, still some people who claim that the 2020 election had widespread fraud. That has been repeatedly proven to not be true. But even in the absence of that, the argument is that if people believe that fraud is possible, that that undermines voter faith as a whole. And so having strong guidelines in place and strong, clear guardrails, as the RNC says, is a way of also just shoring up voter confidence in the process. So that's part of the argument, is that the clearer you make the rules, the more confident all voters can be.
Anya, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR's Capital Bureau reporter, with us for a look at legal disputes over absentee voting in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's Department of Transportation is moving ahead with a plan to rebuild part of I-94 that runs through Milwaukee's west side. But as Jonah Chester reports, community members and environmentalists worry that the project could undo years of efforts to clean up the Menominee River and safeguard neighborhoods along the expressway from flooding.
So what are we going to be doing here today?
We are watering.
We are watering the plant?
Yes.
It's community cleanup night at Milwaukee's Valley Park, and Ann Bowie is trying to wrangle about a half a dozen neighborhood kids. She's assigning them jobs for the evening. Some get mulching duty, some are in charge of watering the flowers. And she also deals with the occasional labor dispute. West of Valley Park runs the Menominee River. To its east is the valley, also known as Pigsville. And Interstate 94 forms the southern border of the neighborhood. Many Valley residents have lived in the shadow of the highway since this stretch of the road was built in 1963. Now the Wisconsin Department of Transportation plans to add two lanes to a 3.5-mile segment of the highway, and the valley falls right in the middle of that project. Bowie and her neighbors worry that expanding the road could disrupt their lives and pollute their community.
Look at these kids. There's like a 3-foot child there with a lung system that is already fragile and already probably compromised from living in houses with lead dust. So it's bad enough that we have the freeways that we have here, but why are we gonna spend, 5 years probably building more?
The expansion of I-94 will add about 29 acres of asphalt to the road. That's more than 20 football fields worth of land that will no longer be able to absorb water. Neighborhoods along the highway, and especially those that are near the Menominee, have struggled with flooding in the past. Valley Park was actually built in the early 2000s to protect nearby homes when the Menominee floods. And residents say it's worked. Peggy Falsetti recalls a time when children would play in standing water when the Menominee River surged over its banks.
And things used to be different. I mean, I remember waking up one morning and the water was all the way up to 39th Street.
But other neighborhoods aren't as lucky. Many neighborhoods south of I-94 near the Menominee still face a high flood risk during severe storms. More households in those neighborhoods also face challenges like having older homes and lacking health insurance, things that make recovering from flooding harder. The State Transportation Department says expanding the road will increase runoff, but officials won't develop a plan to address that until the final planning stages. Cheryl Nen is with the Milwaukee Riverkeeper. She says their approach won't allow for community input.
There's been a lot of, you know, really serious work to deal with flood management in the watershed, and that work continues. This type of a project, you know, is going to make it harder for us to achieve our goals for clean rivers.
Milwaukee has its own rules for planning to minimize runoff in a project's early stages. But as a state agency, Nen says the Department of Transportation isn't bound by those rules.
It is frustrating because they acknowledge there's pollution. They acknowledge that there's a litany of different things they can do to minimize that or ameliorate those impacts, but they don't commit to anything.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation declined an interview for this story. In an email, a department spokesperson said they try to minimize environmental impacts in all of their projects. Back at the Valley Park cleanup, Janet Haas says she's worried about how the expansion will impact the park. The community puts a lot of work into maintaining it, and residents think of it as the heart of the neighborhood.
Who is going to benefit? Because it's not going to be us. The soil is going to be crummier, more polluted. We worked on this park. Why should we give it back?
Haas says expanding the interstate closer to the park could undo all of their work. Jonah Chester, Wisconsin Public Radio.
If you can please...
Coming up after the news, we want to hear from you. Share the hidden and maybe not so hidden gems of the Wisconsin park system. Join in now with your favorite state or local park. You can email ideas@wpr.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a lot of us experience FOMO, the fear of missing out at some point in our lives. A psychologist who researches this fear joins the show to help us understand why we feel it and what we can do about it. Now, I mentioned yesterday that I'd visited one of Wisconsin state parks this weekend, the first time I ever went to Aztalan State Park near Lake Mills. And that made me wonder what parks you like, which ones you think I ought to check out next. Late summer and early fall are great times to visit Wisconsin state parks, trails, and forests. The weather's looking pretty good around the state today. We're looking for your recommendations. Want to hear from you right now about your favorite parks to visit in and around Wisconsin. You can join in right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. What is your favorite Wisconsin state park, forest, or trail? What do you like about it? What's your favorite trail to hike or lake to swim in? What do you like to do at your favorite park? Is it for hiking or boating or camping? Or you answer the question at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. We asked around WPR. I want to give a listen to one of the responses we got from Trina LaSousa.
Balance Rock Trail at Devil's Lake State Park is the best trail. It's one of the more difficult trails, to be honest, because you have to maneuver some very steep stone steps, but the views at the end are totally worth the effort it takes to get there.
Lake is a classic, and I think we might hear from a lot of people picking Devil's Lake as a favorite. It's kind of a rock star of Wisconsin state parks. I've been there. I've done that trail. Love to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What state park do you think I ought to visit? What do you recommend? What is your favorite thing to do there? Join in at 800-642-1234. By the way, it can be an official Wisconsin state park. Could be your county or local park, or if you're beyond the borders of Wisconsin, love to hear about that too. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got some suggestions there. Joe recommends Willow River and Kinnickinnick State Parks. And Jessica says Hartman Creek, great mountain biking trails, and the Ice Age Trail runs through the property too. If water sports are your thing, Chain of Lakes is right there too. Well, thank you so much for getting us started with those recommendations. We asked around the state here now from our colleagues. Ezra Wall writes, Copper Falls State Park. Maybe the most beautiful place in the whole state. It is absolutely grand. After living many years in the South, though, Ezra says, I did make the mistake of booking my camping trip to Copper Falls for mid to late September. Overnight temps were in the low 30s, and I was not prepared. But it was lovely and worth a little cold. Thanks for that, Ezra. You know, I love waterfalls. I haven't been to Copper Falls State Park. I got to cross that off my list sometime. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Monique is with us by Plainfield. Monique, hi.
Hi.
What park do you have for us?
So, Wyalusing, down in the southwestern part of the state, is one of those gems that people don't realize how beautiful it is. And when you hike to the tops of the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River, it's just gorgeous.
It is. That is a great hike. And you could see the convergence of a couple rivers from up there, if I remember correctly, Monique.
Yep.
And
as long as I'm on another one on the northern part of the Mississippi is Kinnickinnick.
All right, another vote for Kinnickinnick. Thank you so much, Monique, for that. Yeah, Wyalusing, that one I've been through a couple of few times now. Always worth visiting again. We are taking your suggestions for great state and other parks in Wisconsin. Join in at 800-642-1234 with your recommendations or your stories. Michael is with us next in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm in the Appleton area. There are a few parks that I, regularly go to that are relatively nearby. Peninsula State Park and Pottawatomie State Park up in Door County. And then closer is High Cliff. And then I also love, if you go a little further north outside the peninsula, Marinette County has a really nice series of county parks. And a lot of them, I'm not sure about most of them, but a lot of them have really pretty waterfalls. And it's a really nice way to spend a day.
Michael, that sounds great. It sounds like you get out a lot. Are you going for day hikes? Are you camping at some of these, a combination?
A little bit of both. I actually just got back last week. I was camping down in technically not a state park, a state forest, Kettle Moraine Forest, the Pike Lake Unit.
Sure.
And I was camping for a few days. And then actually the day I came back, I decided I wasn't quite done with outside and went to High Cliff for about 4 hours.
Fantastic. So, all right, Michael, thanks for all those great suggestions in the easy reach of the Appleton area. How about you? What state parks do you love going to again and again? Do you make a point of seeking out new parks, state or otherwise? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. You can also join in the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. From our colleagues, D. Hall says, our favorite state park is Rock Island. It takes 2 ferry rides and lugging your gear to a campsite. But our 5 nights there each summer is the highlight of the year for our family. Dee says we've been making the trip for more than 20 years. Nice. Second would be Copper Falls State Park. There that is again. Dee says it feels like a slice of the West in northern Wisconsin with massive cliffs, raging rivers, and steep waterfalls. All right, people, I got to get up to Copper Falls. How about you? If you want a third Copper Falls for me, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Judith Marie Heise, oh, she's got a bunch of recommendations. She says, I'll share one now. For overnight summer camping, Governor Dodge State Park is superb. Excellent campsites, beach and boat rentals are terrific. Trails for hiking and biking, and the canyon hike waterfall, it has something for everyone. Let's go back to your calls now. Cheryl is with us in New Holstein. Cheryl, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to recommend?
We love Governor Thompson, and nearby Governor Earl is smaller, not as many amenities, but it's also a very beautiful little park. And we like White Mound County Park down in the southern part of the state, but I can't remember what county it's in.
I'll try to figure that out. And Cheryl, what are you doing? Are you hiking, camping, a little bit of everything?
We typically camp, and when we go camping, we are either biking, hiking, fishing. We like smaller lakes for canoeing, so we've made it a goal. We wanted to get every state park while our kids were young camping, and we didn't make it, so now we're trying to finish up the last few that we haven't been to on our own.
So you got pretty close, though, it sounds like.
We did. And they added a few new ones since the kids have grown, so we're trying to hit them all.
All right. That is fantastic, Cheryl. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We are taking your calls about your favorite parks to visit in and near Wisconsin and what makes them so great. State parks, sure. State forests, trails, or your local county parks, city parks for that matter. Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. Do you have a particularly fond memory associated with one of these parks? Do you like to go swimming, boating, biking, learning the history like I did at Aztalan, or buying souvenirs? What are your favorite things to do near a particular state park? I'm always looking for good restaurants to add to my park experience. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We are taking your suggestions for great state parks or other parks to visit here in Wisconsin and beyond. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your recommendations. Is there a park that's especially nice late summer or into the fall? Do you have tips for finding the best campsite, swimming spot, vista, boat launch at your favorite park? What are some underrated hidden gems in the Wisconsin park system? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Walt is with us in Fort Atkinson. Walt, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hi, good afternoon. I want to put a plug in for Korth County Park in Jefferson County. That's K-O-R-T-H. And what I really want to mention is our event called Brew with a View, where Tyra Nina Brewing Company at Lake Bills supplies beer. And we have a band, usually a great band, and some food trucks. And 300 or 400 people show up with their lawn chairs and have a great time. It's from 5 till 8 on Thursday. The 24th is our last one for this year. So we really invite people out to enjoy the view of Rock Lake. And this is on Highway S in Jefferson County.
Korth Park in Jefferson County, you said that's on the 24th, the last one of the season.
That's right, 24th, Thursday afternoon. This park is right on the west shore of Rock Lake, a beautiful lake, deep lake.
Sounds fantastic. Brew with the View. I love it. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Walt, at 800-642-1234. Diane joins us now in Maquonago. Diane, hi.
Yes, hi. Hello. I'm just going to tell everybody not to show up to Devil's Lake State Park on September 2nd because we're having our son's marriage reception there. They got married 3 years ago, 2020, in Los Angeles area. She works for Angels National Forest. Anyway, they're going to come home and do the reception, and we're going to be in Devil's Lake. And I heard if too many people show up, some of us people that are going to want to be at their wedding, like I'm the mother of the groom, I might not even get in. But anyway, my daddy, he probably built those stairs that are in that park.
With the Civilian Conservation Corps?
Yes, he was with CCC because he couldn't speak English. So he went into the CCC, and then he went right to the Philippines for the World War. But that was just, you know, when I step on those steps this coming September for Labor Day weekend, I'm just going to remember what a wonderful man. And that park, he loved nature, so that park was probably a heartthrob for him, too. So we're going to go, and, yeah, everybody can come. Just join the Chloe and Dooley Stickman party if you come in.
All right. Thanks for the invite, Diane. I'll happily crash that. Have a great wedding in your family there, and we'll hope for good weather for you. What a great story, too, about the building of the park. We are taking your recommendations of great state and other parks to visit here in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Emily joins us now in Port Edwards. Emily, hello.
Hi, I wanted to recommend Amnacon Falls. I took my kids there this year, and it was great because you can, like, actually swim, like, you're in the falls. And we also love Kohler Andre State Park. And I also wanted to share, our neighbors actually got us a state park pass as a Christmas gift, which is probably one of the coolest things that we have ever received as a family.
I do that for my wife, actually. That's a tradition now. I get the state park pass for the next year for Christmas. I want to ask, I've been to Kohler Andre. I haven't been to Amnacon Falls. That's by Superior, I think. You're swimming in falls. Sounds like it might be a little chilly. I don't know. Is it, Emily?
Well, we were there on the cusp of a thunderstorm, but there's shallower parts, which are nice and toasty, and then we didn't get too close in the falls because there was quite a big group there, but it wasn't too bad.
Excellent. Thanks a lot for another falls I haven't been to that I ought to get to. Thanks for that call, Emily, at 800-642-1234. You can join in with your state park recommendation at 800-642-1234. Had a couple more from Judith Marie Heise, Lake Caganza State Park. I've been there. Ooh, but for winter candlelight ski, I haven't done that. Also, Mirror Lake for winter skiing. We went to one of their summer concerts, Judith says, at Mirror Lake in their amphitheater on a Friday evening. Truly magical and wonderful evening. Good recommendations there. Let's bring on Rana now in Cameron. Rana, hello.
Hello. I'm pretty excited to recommend Big Bay Park to everyone up there on Lake Superior, and also the town of Bayfield has a great city park available right there, too. You can get all your Lake Superior kayaking, water skiing, rock hunting, not water skiing, water sports in that you can stand. So that's where I'd like to go.
And Ron, Big Bay, is that the one on Madeline Island, right?
Correct.
Okay, I have been to that one, and I think I've been to your Bayfield City Park. I didn't get into the water, though, I will admit, in Bayfield.
Oh.
Now, are these just summertime activities for you, or do you check them out other times of the year?
Oh, no. I'm a four-season girl up there, so I like to snowshoe and cross-country ski, and then in the fall, I like to just go up and ride my bike and leaf look and sit on the beach and watch the tide come in and out, especially in the evening, and build a fire on the beach and... Yeah, four seasons. You got to do it. Take the snow, drive across the snow in the wintertime, and take your friends from the south, and they're terrified because they don't realize they're on a giant lake. It's a lot of fun.
That is fantastic, Rana. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We are taking your calls, your recommendations for great parks to visit in Wisconsin this time of year, or we've gotten a couple of great wintertime suggestions any time of the year. Or is there a place you go back to again and again and watch it change over the course of the seasons? Join in. Still time for you to call. If you hit a busy signal, that lines are open now for you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Also, we're asking for you to comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Oh, we heard from Pam on Facebook. Oh, what do we got? Oh, another vote for Copper Falls. All right. Copper Falls. I'll go there. Zachary wrote an email from Arcadia. Zachary says, my favorite park where I have lots of childhood memories is Mirror Lake Park in Mondovi. Great place to fish and play with the kids. Thank you so much, Zachary, for emailing ideas@WPR.org. Still looking for you to call in now at 800-642-1234. Still time for you to put in your vote, your plug for a great state park, maybe one to recommend to me. I was looking down the list. I thought I would have been able to check out a lot more. I've been to a bunch, but there are many, many, too many that I have not been to yet. You can scold me for that at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Another one from a colleague here. Governor Nelson Park, a day-use park by Madison for snowshoeing on the Morningside Trail. Great for bird watching in April. Lots of migrating birds come through, both in the woods and on Lake Mendota. There's also a Halloween bonfire and candlelight hike, a can't-miss event for the family. That's a park that I have been to. I haven't missed them all. You can still join in, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your park recommendation or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I've got people online just waiting for them to be ready. There we go. Lanny is with us in Ashland. Lanny, hi. Oop, are you there, Lanny?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
what
here.
Did you want to recommend?
Well, I love Wisconsin. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. And, I moved up here maybe 20 years ago. But I want to make people aware that, don't take any driftwood or anything, any sand off the beach, because actually you can get a fine for it. I don't want to be negative, but some friends of mine were collecting driftwood, and they took it home, and the DNR followed them and fined them $137 for taking driftwood off the beach, So just kind of just give you a heads up, if anyone's collecting driftwood, just beware, I guess, I don't know what else to say. I just want to make you guys aware of that. It blew me away,
Interesting. So the only thing to bring home, Lanny, is going to be photos and memories, huh?
And your kids, hopefully.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Lanny, thanks for the heads up. Yeah, I don't generally want to pick up the driftwood. We'll go now to Eric at 800-642-1234. Eric calling from Madison. Eric, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love the show.
Thanks. What is your favorite park?
I really love Northwood County Park up there just north of Pittsville in Wood County. It has a gorgeous little suspension bridge, nice river flowing through it, the little rapids you can walk out in.
Ooh. Do you have a favorite time of year to go there, Eric?
Actually, right about now, when the dog days of summer, when it's still nice and hot, but the water is real cool and refreshing. Everything's leafed out and just gorgeous and green.
That sounds fantastic. And when was the last time you were out there, Eric, or do you have a trip planned right now?
Unfortunately, I don't have one planned, and it's been about a decade since I moved out of Wood County.
Gotcha. Well, I hope you get back there soon, Eric. Thanks a lot for that recommendation for Northwood County Park in Wood County. Yeah, some of those hot days, I think it's going to get hot this weekend in Wisconsin. Getting out in the rapids sounds pretty nice. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Hey, the Central Time staff has some suggestions here. I guess we can hear from them. Lauren says Janesville. He's always talking Janesville. Janesville is the city of parks. It's true. There are some really nice parks in Janesville. Dean Knetter says, besides the beach, Harrington Beach State Park has a wonderful trail around an old quarry that's now a crystal clear lake. Ooh, that sounds pretty cool. What else? We had another one. Oh, Michael in Appleton gives us a follow-up, says you could check and you can take some things, foraging for mushrooms in some cases, depends on what the thing is, but people should, Michael agrees, check on the DNR website before you start taking stuff. Ron is with us now on the road. Ron, hello.
Oh, I'd recommend Merrick State Park. The Friends Group is real active. It's a park on the Mississippi River, just north of Fountain City, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The Friends Group puts on nature programs and stuff every Saturday night down there. They put a handicapped accessible canoe and kayak brand launch there, and they've got canoes and kayaks. The backwaters are beautiful. The fishing's beautiful. It's just a really neat park.
That's good. How often do you find yourself getting there, Ron?
I would say we probably get there half a dozen times a month.
Oh, wow. Are you part of the Friends Group?
Yes.
Awesome.
But we also camp there, fish there, do a lot of boating out of the park as well.
All right. Ron, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for the work you do to help keep that park up. Friends Groups do a lot of great work at state parks around the state. Rochelle Wilson here on the Central Time team says, I just went to Peninsula State Park for the first time this past weekend. I love the beautiful views of Lake Michigan. Well, hey, thanks everyone who called in today. You could keep sharing your recommendations for your favorite parks and forests in and around Wisconsin. You can email ideas@WPR.org or join the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know. Let me know where I should go to check out a cool park, what kind of things you love to do there, your favorite season or seasons to check out that park. Let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I could share more of your suggestions over the course of this week. Coming up tomorrow on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, Republican presidential candidates are gearing up for their first debate. That's next week in Milwaukee. Get a preview of the event, find out what might be at stake for the candidates, and, as of now, who is and isn't expected to show up. Join that conversation. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Yesterday on the show, we listened back to a great conversation about books that were adapted into movies, which ones work, which ones don't, and you called in and shared a lot with us. Here are some more of your comments. Mike from Wauwatosa says he likes finding out that a movie he liked also had a book version. It's like he gets to watch it again and learn more about the story. Mike mentioned the Bourne movies as an example he liked. Joe happened to be driving through from New York. Joe says, authorial voice is important in a screenplay. Joe mentioned The World According to Garp as capturing the spirit of the author's voice, but he said great Gatsby adaptations haven't been able to replicate F. Scott Fitzgerald. David from La Crosse mentioned a movie called The River Wye that was made into a movie. The movie left out some details, but he says they did a good job of bringing the characters to life. They did the book justice. Dennis emailed with some relevant movie references. Keep the movie close, but the book's closer, and we're going to need a bigger book. Let's have a Central Time book and movie. What the heck? This is Central Time.